Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up to the minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Corps Team.
Well, hello there, Army families, and welcome to Army Wives Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by Army Wives Network Corps Team. This is show 494, and I'm your host, Paula Swanson.
I'm sitting in your co-pilot chair this evening. I'm co-host Tara Crooks. Today is Monday, October 27, 2014, and I very rarely get to be in this spot, so I was actually very excited. But I said, oh my gosh, I don't have to switchboard tonight. So excited you guys are here to hang out with myself and Paula and all the rest of the AWN Corps Team tonight.
I know this is a little awkward because I'm like, this is not the right seat that I'm normally in. So I'm a little discombobulated. I'm like, wait a minute. And then I log in and I'm like, oh my gosh, things have changed. And I'm like, okay, well, all right, we'll go with it. So, but we're glad that you are here with us tonight. And of course, you know that there is always a party going on here at Army Wife Network. So if you're listening to our show live right now, you can join us in our Twitter party chat, and that's a fun and easy way to follow our chat. You can do that through Tweet Chat. You can go open up Tweet Chat if you go to tweetchat.com and put in Army Wife in the hashtag. That's a great way to follow the tweets and be able to really follow the conversation a little bit easier than trying to follow on Twitter. So we use it, and it's a lot of fun. Besides, the awesome chat that we have and the great guests that we've got coming up, we have giveaways that you're only going to catch on Twitter, so you don't want to miss that. And if you're listening to one of the podcasts, mark it on your calendar to join us one night where you can actually listen live and participate in our tweet chat, because it is a lot of fun. So you can also follow, if you're on Twitter, twitter.com/Army Wife Network, and use the hashtag Army Wife, not wives, Army Wife, to participate.
All righty. Well, tonight's show is brought to you guys by our AWN Corps Team. So, we're just telling you, hey, here we are, and here's our show, and here's who we are. And I know that a lot of times you guys on the outside over there looking in may not have a clue what it is that we do here or why we do it. We are a dedicated group of volunteers. And really, truthfully, we're so very different. Each one of us is different on the Corps Team. And that's what I love about our team, is that we are so different. But it's our passion about empowering military families that brings us together. And we're really good about going back to that core. In having so many different people on the team, what's great about that is you get so many differing opinions. And so it's rare that we all agree 100% all the time, but everybody's such a great critical thinker that we can talk through things and really decide, you know, the best way to present them to you guys. And I think that's definitely one of our strengths on AWN Corps Team. If you guys want to get to know us, though, through we've got our bios over on armywifenetwork.com, but one of the coolest places to get to know us and actually see us, other than our Facebook cover photo, which is always so cute, done by Emily, is over on Instagram. We've got Corps Team Tuesdays, and every single Tuesday, that's tomorrow, you can follow each of us over there, and each week is a different Corps Team member. And you can go back and look at, you know, the previous pictures on Corps Team Tuesdays as well to get to know a little bit about our lives and see inside our lives. You can also follow each of us on Twitter, and if you go to our Army Wife Network Twitter page, it's twitter.com/Army Wife Network, you'll see each of our individual handles over there so you can follow, and you obviously will see us in Tweet Chat as well. So if you want to get behind the scenes, go check those things out, because I think what you'll find is that we're a lot like you guys, and we just want to share our experiences and be able to empower you with resources and information that we come across. Because we are a network, we get a lot sent to us, and we want to pass it on to you. We appreciate you guys being out there, and we hope you like our show.
Absolutely. And tonight we've got a really great show. Tonight on Army Wife Talk Radio, we've got Renee Fry, and she's the founder of Making Care Easier. And Robin Santos is also going to join of Clorox Care Concepts. So we're going to be talking about, you know, taking care of elderly parents, and a lot of us are at that age, and we need to, you know, get some tips and that sort of stuff. So both Renee and Robin are going to be here to talk with us about that. You can actually follow on Twitter, Making Care Easier. So it's at Making Care, and I actually think it is Making Care Easy without the R on the end, but I need to double check that. But I believe
yes,
that's
what it probably is.
Yeah,
and I messed that
it
up
is,
for
and
you.
I think you added thinking that I had gotten. That's okay.
I did.
That's okay. But it is Making Care Easy, EASIE, and then you can also follow Clorox at Clorox, and of course they've got websites. www.makingcareeasier.com and Clorox.com, and of course Facebook pages, Making Care Easier, and of course Clorox Concepts. And then tonight also our AWTR Minute is Helps. So before we get to all of that, though, we've got some catching up to do. And so I know, Tara, you have been very busy lately. So you want to share with us what's going on?
Well, it's always a busy time around here, even when it's not busy on those days. Actually, I will not lie. I'm just going to lay it out and tell you that the days that are not busy are the days I fear the most. The days that there's like open rain on my day and I have some extra time is always when the world decides I need to be a firefighter. And I just put out fires all day long. Like little things pop up constantly. And then I end up more stressed than I was to begin with, thinking I was going to not have anything to do. So I welcome the days that are packed with stuff so much that I can't even get to a fire if I wanted to. So it's been kind of crazy, but I have been busy, but it's been fun. So we've got Halloween coming up in just 4 days. We're counting down. Got a huge table full of stuff downstairs ready to do our big Halloween bash. I don't know if you guys are new to the show or if you've been with me for years. You know, Paula, we're going on our 10th year of broadcasting. Talk about crazy,
that's
right?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, but if you guys have been with us for years, you know that the crooks do up Halloween in very, very
absolutely
giant proportions. And so last year was a calm year for us. It was our first time in the neighborhood. We weren't sure how people would take us. We didn't know many people, so we kept it calm, which is actually probably pretty normal or above normal for others. But this year, after we've met everybody, we said, hey, here's what we're doing. And so we've got a huge Halloween bash going on here at the house with all the neighbors coming out. And we give away lots of stuff on Halloween night. The only thing that's different this year is we are not going to do any alcoholic beverages or, you know, Jello shots or anything like that for the adults.
But, okay, well, sorry, I won't be able to make
it. Yeah, normally we do, but we were a little afraid that we might get in trouble for that. So we are saving it for the we're making a beverage, but it will be served at the after party, not at Halloween. So it'll be people that we know.
Okay.
You know, wouldn't sue us if they like tripped on something because they were drunk on their way home. So
seriously,
we were like, yeah, we probably ought to not do that. So yeah, so we reserved that. But we were so excited. The kids did a Monster Mile this last weekend. And they got to get in their costumes. And Renna's costume, I mean, did you see it? Did you get to see it on Facebook?
I did. Oh, my gosh. How
it was amazing.
Incredible.
And she did it herself.
She did? Really?
I mean, she did all of her makeup. I mean, I bought the costume. She found the costume online, and she said, this is what I want. And the first one that she sent me, I was like, no, dude, that's not going to happen because it was a little risque. And I was like, no. And so I said, but I bet that they have. She's Sally from The Nightmare Before Christmas. And I told her, I said, I bet that they will have a costume that's more, you know, a little bit less, you know, how they, like, they just leave a little less to the imagination. I need something to be left to the imagination. You're 13,
yeah,
right? So I took I took to the internet and I found one that was decent for her. And so anyhow, she did all of her makeup on her own. She researched all of it and she did all, she came downstairs. She's like, the only thing I need help with is getting my wig on. And we went to go do that Monster Mile. And people were like stopping and like asking her questions or staring at her, pointing.
That's really cool.
Some lady finally goes, we've been trying to figure it out for like a half a mile. What
are
you? Who are you? Yeah, she goes,
okay.
"Who are you?"
Yeah.
And she was like, "Oh, I'm Sally," you know. And she was like, "We were like Raggedy Ann, no, you know." But I'm telling you, she did such a good job on it. So, and then Chloe's
That's
a Tootsie
awesome.
Roll, so we're giving out Tootsie Rolls this year as the big ones, not the tiny ones, as our treat, as well as we have non-food treats. We're doing the pumpkin, teal pumpkin project. If you guys don't know about that, you can look it up. And then, this past weekend was full. Last week was full of volunteer stuff. And that weekend, the prior Friday, because I haven't been on a show since then, was Unite. Mm-hmm. It was our giant PTA thing that we did, and it went over really well, and I did a lot of volunteering for that. And it was fun. It was fun to be in, working with people again, because that's what I'm used to with the Army life. So, and then this past weekend was Longhorn Day, and I had never volunteered at Renna's school other than for choir. So I never got to meet, I'm part of the PTA, but I don't volunteer for them. I do my volunteer at the other school. And so it was really neat to get to meet other people. But Renna was so funny. I told Kev, you know, Chloe, it's like awesome for me to go volunteer at school, right? And Chloe is much different than Renna. And, you know, so I thought Renna was kind of like, okay, you're going to volunteer my school, yay, you know. And so when I was going to leave before everything started because I had done my job, I was set up. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to head out. So I texted her, and she was like, no, wait till, you know, I find my friends. And she comes running over with all of her friends. Oh, my mom is here, meet everybody. And then she goes, okay, let's take a selfie. So then we took a selfie, and she's like, okay, bye, Mom. And then, 30 minutes later, I get this text, and so I left. So I get, because I had already stayed, an hour longer than I was going to. And so I get a text message that says, where did you go? We came back to see you, and you were gone. And I was like, she's so funny, because she really did care, you know, anyway.
Sure,
that's
of
just
course.
How they go.
But she's at that age. She's at that age. It's okay.
Yeah, she was like, okay, I care, but I can't tell you that, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But
I can't not be cool.
The most exciting thing is that Emily's bed has arrived. For her to sleep in for the field exercise. Everybody's going to come see me. So I did a bunch of field exercise emails today, and so I am pumped and ready and excited to go to Fort Sill.
Absolutely.
And we have a new site coming up. So, yeah, it has been busy.
Gosh.
With field exercise and the site and stuff that we've been doing and holidays. But it's great. I won't complain. Anyhow, but I will hush up because I want to hear about a little new addition to your family.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, we have to welcome Tucker to our family.
Tucker.
And Tucker, oh my goodness. If you could see, I'm looking at Tucker right now, and he's looking at me like, who, me?
Why did you say my name?
Okay, let me tell you about Tucker. I'll be brief. But as many know, I lost my beloved little Izzy, my little 6-pound dog, back in the beginning of the summer. And we have Fleetwood. We love Fleetwood. He's a PETA, but we love him. He's a Jack Russell mix. He's about 30 pounds. He's just goofy. You know, he just kind of doesn't know his limits really right now. He's still a puppy.
He's my bad.
But anyway, long story short is I went to a pet adoption fair, and I just went, honestly, I just went to just kind of get an idea. I knew what I wanted.
That's what they all say, Paula.
Well, I know, but here's the thing. I knew what I wanted, and the reality of me being able, because I wanted to do a rescue, okay? I don't want to pay $500 for a dog, okay?
Right.
I wanted to do a rescue, had to be small, and when I say small, I'm saying under 10 pounds, the smaller the better. That's just me. I wanted a little cuddle. And so I go to this adoption fair, and the very first place that I go and look at was the Nashville Humane Association, and they had some little cages out, and there's this little black dog, and I was drawn to him, and I held him for an hour and a half while I was trying to make my decision as to whether I wanted to adopt this little dog. He came from a breeder. He is a toy poodle. He's 2.5 years old, and he weighs, are you ready? A whopping 3.5 pounds.
Oh, my God, he's that tiny?
He's that tiny. He is sitting in his lambskin bed that I bought for him on my desk right now. And he's just looking at me like, okay, 3.5 pounds. So
he didn't look that little in the pictures.
No,
awesome.
He's that little to where I don't want to leave Fleetwood by himself with him, because Fleetwood, not meaning to, but Fleetwood's kind of goofy, could easily step on him and seriously hurt him.
Fleetwood would never do anything like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not on purpose, no. So, yes, so we're welcoming Tucker to the family, and he is a doll. And I went and got him groomed, and I bought him a little extra small polo. And so he had his picture taken.
You guys didn't have to know about that because the polo was hilarious.
Yes, I bought him a little, blue polo, and I took a picture of him, and I even posted it onto the Nashville Humane Association's Facebook page because I just wanted him to know, hey, he went to a good home, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, that hit like wildfire. They retweeted it. They put it up on their Facebook page again. They even called me the next day just to check on him and say, oh, my gosh. And they were like, oh, you're the one that has Tucker in the polo. Yep, that's me.
So you must tweet us a picture of him because everyone is asking.
Oh, my God. I'm serious.
I know you can't get in. You said you were having problems with Tweet Chat.
Yeah, I'm having problems with Tweet Chat, but I can do it from my phone. So I will definitely I will put that in there. But he is adorable. So I know I took too long talking about Tucker, but he is really what I wanted. You know, he has really met the need for what I was wanting. So that's Tucker news, and we're so excited to have him, and he is just a doll. And then some girlfriends and I, yesterday, this was the first time I've ever done anything like this. We went, it was called Off the Beaten Path Art Studio Tour, and it was up in some of the mountains of Tennessee on a beautiful fall day here yesterday. The colors were magnificent. And we did an art tour where we went to all these different studios, and a lot of these studios were in people's homes that were either down in the hollers or up in the mountains, and it was so much fun. Bought a couple of pieces of pottery that was really cool, and so that was my first experience of doing an art studio tour. Had a lot of fun with that. And then from some more volunteer stuff, our FBI Alumni Association went to the zoo on Saturday night. They have a big event at our zoo here every Halloween called Ghouls at Grassmere, and we handed out candy and child ID kits. So it's been kind of a busy week and a couple of weeks for me as well. Not too much Army wife stuff and not too much Army mom stuff.
Yeah, you better get to work.
I know, geez, what the heck. So, but yeah, so that's kind of us in a nutshell. We've just, you know, been really busy. So I know you have too. But anyway, let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some of our hot topics that are going on, social media and the news. So we will be right back.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives, a network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
All right, well, our general hot military conversation topic is that Dempsey hits YouTube to address the troops' Ebola concerns. The nation's top military officer has taken to YouTube to try and soothe the troops' concerns about deploying to the region of Africa being ravaged by Ebola. Now, there's been so much in the news that I'm sure everybody's probably read it, seen it, heard it, that sort of thing. But you can always go to the ArmyTimes.com, and there's a link, or you can search on YouTube. We'll also put that link in our Twitter chat so that you can, if you've not seen it and you want to hear what he had to say about that, go ahead and check that out. Some good information there.
All righty. And then what was hot on AWN this week? Each week we choose something to highlight here from our blog, and this week is our Loving a Soldier blogger, Rachel. As military spouses, sometimes we doubt our own strength, especially when it comes to dealing with long separations. But we believe, and Rachel obviously does too, because she blogged about it, communication is the key to making it through. So she asks you, how do you handle long separations? And she invites you to go look at the blog post over on lovingasoldier.com. It's called I Can Do This. And it's a very good blog post you guys will have to go read.
Absolutely. And so we got a little roundup over here over on social media. Has anybody joined us for hashtag War Wednesday on Instagram? It is a fun way for us to answer a question that's posted every week. We kind of get some interaction going over there. It is a lot of fun. Sometimes people are so creative in some of their hashtags that they come up with. But last week's question was, what hashtag describes your pumpkin of choice? Was it an orange one, a white one, or a lumpy one? So you have to wonder what this week's question is going to be, but you can check us out over there on Instagram and follow along in the fun and just have a good time with it. So what's your choice, Tara, orange, white, or lumpy?
Well, I prefer orange pumpkins, but I also responded to that, and I'll have to say that my favorite pumpkins are the fairy tale pumpkins. Have you ever seen them? They're kind of short. They're wide, and they're fat but short and fat, and they're like squished, you know what I mean, like they're kind of flat, but they're called fairy tale pumpkins. I don't know, I just think they're really cool. And then when I was at the Dallas Arboretum a couple weeks ago, I saw these gourds, not necessarily pumpkins, but they were gourds that looked like apples, like giant green apples. They were the coolest pumpkin.
Oh, really?
Or gourd, I guess. I don't think they were supposed to be a pumpkin, but I don't know. They said some of the coolest stuff there, but the short, fat ones are my favorite. Otherwise, I guess I would say, like, I like those pumpkin, the pie ones, the pie-sized ones.
You know what I thought of? And I didn't, honestly, I didn't even get a chance to put my comment on there, but mine was Cinderella's pumpkin.
Well, yeah, that's
remember
what they are.
Cinderella. No, in the Disney.
Oh, you mean
movie
the ones that
Cinderella
actually like, came to life and
yeah,
made themselves into horses?
Cinderella rode in the pumpkin, you know.
That's
and,
what I want.
Yeah.
Give me some
want.
Of those.
So,
give me
yeah.
some of that.
But,
all right.
Yeah.
Well,
it was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was. I love hashtag War Wednesday. It's like one of my favorite things about AWM, social media especially, because it's just fun. Everybody over there just has a really good time, and our Instagram group is really growing, and I love to see that. It's a fun place.
Yeah.
Allison does a good job with that one. All right, guys, well, last but not least, it's a public service announcement time. I'm going to go through this one pretty quick for you so we can get on to the news. If you or your business has a military-related PSA, we limit them to one per show, but we do ask that you send them over to us. Please send them at least 10 days in advance if you can. We'll get them into the next rotation wherever we see a spot available. And it's info, I-N-F-O, at armywifenetwork.com. This week we have free financial checkup available for active duty military families. Wondering whether or not you're on the right track financially? Will you be able to meet your goal of buying a dream truck, putting your kids through college, or living comfortably in retirement, or all of the above? Military Times is preparing a special report for publication later this year, and they want to connect a number of active duty military families with professional financial planners for a free review of whether or not you're on the right financial track, or whether or there are some areas maybe that you need to shore up in order to reach your financial goals. So what they want to do is match you with that personal financial planner, absolutely free, and then they're going to report on the results of your analysis in their newspaper and on their websites. Now, they're not going to do that, obviously, and say, you know, Tara Crooks and her husband have this much money, but it's obviously going to be better done than that, but they want to reach out to military families to offer them this. So if you're interested and if you want to be eligible for consideration, contact staff writer Karen Jowers. Her email is kjowers@militarytimes.com. We also have this link from the Army Times article available on our website as well as in Twitter in the links that we just posted. So if you guys are interested, go check that out. And that is it for our PSA tonight. Coming up, though, after these quick commercial breaks, we've got AWN's News 6 Corey tonight bringing us the need-to-know news stories. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
I'm just so happy my father had a chance to see his kids before he passed. I just want to say thank you.
When her father fell ill, the American Red Cross was able to help get Veronica's brother home from the Navy to speak to his father one last time. It's thanks to your donations that we can connect military families when they need it most. Please donate today at redcross.org.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit armywifenetwork.com for details.
It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6, Corey, bringing you your need-to-know news. The Army has developed a 30-person rapid response team to help U.S. hospitals deal with possible future cases of Ebola. A newly formed military medical team is completing its specialized training at the San Antonio Military Medical Center. The team will be available to help treat Ebola patients at U.S. hospitals. The 30-member team has been tasked by Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel with deploying within 72 hours to help civilian medical staff treat the disease. The group, made up of volunteers from the Army, Air Force, and Navy, has done extensive work in infectious disease control and research. The team reported to San Antonio last Tuesday and began training on Wednesday. Part of their training involves the proper way to remove and dispose of the biohazard suits that are now required by the CDC for those treating Ebola patients. The process is long and tedious, but being slow and careful in this situation is paramount. Once the team finishes training, the members will return to their home stations but be ready to deploy within 72 hours, and preferably much faster, when requested by the Department of Health and Human Services. The mission could include relieving a civilian medical team, joining civilian healthcare workers in treating patients, or even splitting into two groups to respond to multiple cases. And next, the Pentagon is working to build isolation units that can be used aboard military transport planes to more safely transfer Ebola patients from West Africa to the United States. As more United States troops head to West Africa, the Pentagon is developing portable isolation units that can carry up to 12 Ebola patients for transport on military planes. The Pentagon says it does not expect it will need the units for the 3,000 U.S. troops headed to the region to combat the virus because military personnel will not be treating Ebola patients directly. We want to be prepared to care for the people we do have there just out of an abundance of caution, the Defense Department spokeswoman Jennifer Elzey said. She said prototypes would be tested in the next month before being deployed in the field by January. Currently, transport of Ebola patients from overseas is done by Phoenix Air, a government contractor based in Georgia, whose modified business jet is capable of carrying just a single patient. The Pentagon's transportation system will allow the Air Force to use C-17 or C-130 transport planes to carry up to 8 patients on stretchers or 12 patients who are able to walk. The containment system is a tent-like structure held up by a metal framework within the jet. The single patient is attended to by a doctor and two nurses while in flight. In addition to being able to hold more patients, the Pentagon units will also be able to set up on pallets that can be rolled onto the military aircraft. And just in time for Halloween, Kids Health offers some good safety tips for keeping your little ghouls and goblins safe while trick-or-treating. Choose a light-colored costume because they're easily seen at night. Adding reflective tape or glow-in-the-dark tape to the front and back of the costume and the trick-or-treat bag can also be effective. Make sure your children eat a filling meal before leaving for trick-or-treat so they won't be tempted to fill up on candy later. Children under the age of 12 who are trick-or-treating should be accompanied by an adult. For older children who might be trick-or-treating on their own, make sure you discuss with them beforehand the route that they will be taking and what time they are expected to return home. Make sure they carry a cell phone, go with a group of friends, only to houses with porch lights on, and walk only on sidewalks. When your kids get home, check all treats to make sure they're sealed. Throw out any candy with torn packages or holes in the packages. Know how much candy your kids have collected and store it somewhere other than their bedrooms. Let kids have one or two treats a day instead of leaving candy out in big bags or bowls for the kids to sample at will. And those are your need-to-know news stories for this week. Stay tuned to the Army Wife Network's Twitter feed and Facebook page for more updates throughout the week. This is your News 6, Corey, signing out.
You are a waste. A loser. Everyone hates you. Why don't you just stay in your car and keep driving? I'm serious. Drive until you run out of gas, then get out of your car and walk until you find someone who doesn't think you're dumber than bricks. Could take a while, but at least all that walking might burn a couple of calories.
You may not witness bullying like this every day. Your kids do. They want to help, but they don't know how. Visit StopBullying.gov to learn safe, simple ways your child can help stop bullying. Be more than a bystander at StopBullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website www.armywifenetwork.com or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Paula Swanson.
And I'm your host, Tara Crooks. I guess I'm your co-host, Tara Crooks. There are over 50 million people who are caring for their aging loved ones out there. We've got a team member on our very own team who is taking care of her parents, and I shouldn't say taking care because they take care of her too. But it can be especially hard for Army wives who are caring for their older children, or their older children, their parents, or children at home while their spouse is away, and trying to take care of their parents as well, even if they're not in the same home. We brought in some experts today who can give you some great advice on how to tackle caring for your parents, even if you're far away and not near them. So we've got some great information for you tonight.
And we're joined tonight by Renee Fry, who is the founder of Making Care Easier, which is a free online and mobile tool for caregivers, and Robin Santos from Clorox Care Concepts, a partner of Making Care Easier, which recently launched a line of products to help you care for your loved ones, including getting started guides, information, advice, and solutions for caregiving. So we want to welcome Renee and Robin to the show. Are you there?
Yep, this is Renee. Can you hear me?
Hi, Renee.
Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, hi there. Robin's here as well. Well, great. So,
hi, Robin.
Thank you both.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Well, Renee, let's start out with you, and if you will, tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Yep, so it's a web and mobile app we're going to talk about with Making Care Easier, but I live in Massachusetts, and I have to say thank you to everyone. My grandfather was a medic in the 82nd Airborne during World War II and lived to be 92 years old, so you're going to hear some stories about him tonight. But again, we're the founders of Making Care Easier, and I think what's important for all of us is that, you know, I'm a mom of a three-year-old, but at the same time was caring for aging grandparents, and we realized that, wow, we wish there was some more help out there. We wish there was a mobile app so we could get all our family members and everyone engaged, and since there wasn't anything there, and we talked to lots of other friends about the same issue, we created it. So that's what we'll talk about tonight, is what we learned and how we can share it with all of you who are caring for aging parents.
That's awesome. And what about you, Robin? You want to tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from?
Hi there. I'm calling from Los Angeles. And can I just say I hopped on the Nashville Humane Society, and Tucker is adorable.
Stalker.
Yay! Stalker. Yay! Yay, Tucker, buddy, you're famous.
He is famous.
Yeah, Los Angeles, California is looking at you. He just looked at me like, what are you talking about?
He's like, oh, please, let me take a nap.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm, Yeah, he's great. And I'm calling from LA, and I work for the Clorox company, and I've worked there for about 4 years. And so right now I'm charged with launching this new line of products for personal care and cleaning at home for the at-home caregiver, but then also creating an emotional resource for caregivers as well, similar to what Julie was talking about, Renee was talking about, that we thought we could actually really be a great resource for caregivers.
Oh, absolutely, and I think you've definitely got a spot here with Army families. I think this is going to really resonate with them. Well, let's start, Renee. I'm going to pick your brain. I know I hate it when people say that. Sorry.
No worries.
It's like dreaded. I shouldn't have even said that. Many of us, though, are dealing with caring for our parents, even elderly parents, and we might even be looking to tackle that or to take that on in the near future. And so I guess my biggest question to you to get started tonight is, what can we do to prepare for that? Like, you know, we're all about gathering resources and preemptive striking. So what can we do if we know that that's coming up or we just started to prepare for the situation?
Yep. Well, unfortunately, as our parents age, you definitely know something's going to happen, right? And it might be something.
I mean, eventually, like, right?
Yeah, right. You know, maybe it's stroke, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. Or maybe a combination of a number of things. And so you can't predict when, but you definitely know something's going to happen. So you have to prepare. And so the one thing we encourage a lot of folks to do is, you know, make sure you prepare for an emergency now, because when it happens, it's definitely going to be way too late, right? So you want to make sure that you have an emergency information list and that everyone that you think might need to know where it is does. And medicine lists, that's one of the things we really encourage people to do is, my mother is on 12 different medications, and I couldn't name probably two of them. And so what we want to do is make sure that you have that information ready, because any combination of medicine could go wrong if you get it. So have that. And then also a care plan for anything like allergies, likes or dislikes. And then we encourage everybody definitely to try to keep the information online so that if you get that call at 2 a.m., you don't have to scramble to get it, or you're not going to be at your mom and dad's maybe. But have it online and basically really know where things are, what the conditions are, and have that information ready so that you can tell what the health needs are. And I have to tell you, if an emergency, again, it's unfortunately going to happen, but you can save lives if you have the right information ready.
That is the truth. That is
the
truth.
You said that, Renee, and I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I would have known my mom's medication list when I took care of her for her cancer or her knee surgery, but I wouldn't have a clue now. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, I just learned my mother has diabetes. Like, we were doing this with her over Christmas time, and I just learned she had she was taking diabetes medication. And I said, what? You've never told any of us that. And she said, oh, no, it's not real diabetes. And I'm like, what?
Man, at least text me.
And I was like, well, I need to tell my doctor that someone in my family has that, and I need to know that. And I was like, you're my mom. You should tell me these things. So you never know. You have to ask.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, do you go hunt down your kids and tell them? I mean, I don't. So, yeah.
Yep. Exactly. But the good part, too, is if you put things online and you store it somewhere, it's not a constant conversation you have to have, because those conversations do get really tough. But if you can store that information somewhere and people know they can update it, then it's not that constant conversation that they might not be looking forward to. But everybody knows that the information you might need if an emergency happens is there.
Good.
Gotcha. Well, okay, so... And that really ties into how that helps. How does making care easier help the families who are caring for their loved ones? It's because they have that access. That now, is it available to multiple people to go in and look at? How does that work?
Yeah, so it's a web and mobile app. So what you could do is basically you can put together your own care team. So it can be your family, it can be friends, and we'll talk a little bit more about how you never know really who's going to be interested in giving help, but if you're a caregiver or someone who's going to have to take care of an aging parent, you want to make sure whoever wants to help, you let them help. But what we really do is we help people take action. So there's lots of websites out there and things that you can put up nice pictures or give information. But what we really found was that people, you know, it might be the first time you're dealing with Alzheimer's, but there is a whole community out there that can give you tips and suggestions and can get you to take that action that you might need to do. So we'll give you, it's a unified resource that helps, you know, you can share information, you manage what needs to get done, and then really tracking the tasks of who's doing what, when, and everything from appointments that you need to get to, all 17 for Grandma in 1 month, last month for one of our users who sent us a funny email about that. But really making sure that you get information out there, but you can do things with it around, here's how we're going to make care easier for, you know, me as a caregiver because I have my kids. I need help from my sister. I need help from my brother. Let's all get together and make things happen, and let's make sure that Mom and Dad have the best experience possible, and we do too. Because if you work together, you really can have a positive, loving experience. And unfortunately, families don't always do that, and sometimes the animosity that's created gets really painful, so we help people try to avoid that.
I like what you say, too, about whoever wants to help, allow them to.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things we find is that there was a woman who wrote to us, and she lives in Beijing, and she wanted to make sure that she could help care for her father somehow. And she finally said, well, I can buy something. What does Dad need? And he needed a bathrobe. And so they put on one of their lists, like, please buy a bathrobe. And so she got so excited she could finally help. She sent him a blue bathrobe, a gold bathrobe, and a white bathrobe just because she was saying, I'll help. Just tell me how. I want to be there. And she always felt like, you know, she couldn't. And she appreciated the daily updates of Dad was having a green day, a red day, or a yellow day, like, you know, good, bad, or somewhere in the middle. But she really just wanted to be able to help and never knew how. So that's really key to a lot of the caregivers out there.
Really sounds like a really great communication tool that is easy for the caregiver, so you're not having to spend, you know, if you can get online or in this mobile app and you can say, Dad's having a green day, you don't have to text 15 of your relatives and say, hey, we had a good day, or answer the phone 15 times. I mean, I know just from being up with my mom at the hospital when she had her surgery, I was like, the next person that calls this phone is going to die. Like, I am so done with this phone. Like, I'm turning it off. Because she couldn't sleep because the phone rang constantly. It was
right.
Like, okay, everybody, like, I think it's good. And they, you know, and the flip side, you're like, I'm loved. People want to know how she's doing. That's great. But this gives everybody, like, that central location to come to. And
right.
Communication, I mean, totally, that's key there. And we joke in our family, I'm listening to this thinking, well, this is going to rock, about how who's in charge. Like, Kevin's family, they have three kids. And so we say, like, the oldest, he is a nurse. And so he's actually going to do the physical taking care of.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have his younger sister, and she's in charge of, like, all the errands and running the finances and everything. And Kevin's and my job is to send money. But, you know, hey, it's all worked out. Like, we know. Like,
no,
so we'll be sending the bathroom.
No, I have to admit, you guys are incredibly organized. I have to
tell you,
you really
it's
are.
It's a disease, Renee.
I can tell you, not every family is like that, and so a leader tends to emerge, but then doesn't get enough help from the others, and they stop communicating, and by the time, you know, it all blows up. So you guys are doing great.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's all his mother. I mean, I love to be organized, and I'm a planner for sure. They'll all laugh when I say that. You can probably hear them laughing in other countries right now. It's, you know, it kind of started as a joke, and then it was like, no, really, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Let's do this. So it worked out well. Well, okay, now, Robin, I'm going to turn to you here and say we've got a website, When Care Comes Home. It's an initiative, and it's what this Making Care Easier ties into. There's a lot of important things to know about bringing care home. Can you kind of touch on that with us and the initiative?
Definitely. One of the things that we noticed when we were talking to caregivers was sometimes when a leader does emerge, we find that that person feels very alone. They're not really sure how to ask for help. They're not sure how to take care of themselves. So what we wanted to do, along with the functional needs of how to move somebody from the bedroom to the bathroom, how to brush somebody's teeth with Alzheimer's, we wanted to create a site that offered all of those tips, but then also actually spoke to caregivers. So through personal stories, through video content that we made, we actually have been screening a film called The Sacred Journey about a family's process of dealing with a son who has ALS. And we really felt like the second that caregivers felt empowered and felt like, wow, there's actually 66 million of us out there. So I'm not doing this by myself, and I know how other people are feeling. If we gave them tips and tools on how to be within that space, it was something that we thought was really important to kind of help them give back to themselves.
Well, okay. Also, I mean, I think, Renee, you kind of answered too about with a lot of military, you know, especially if they're long distance caring for them, the ways that they can kind of interact and be a part of that. Is there anything else that you can think of that is, you know, a suggestion?
Or Robin, really. I mean, either one of you could answer
that.
Or,
yeah, either one.
Yeah. If you've got some tips on it.
Yeah. So one of the things that we suggest, and you're right, there's tons of tools on how you guys can get together and the calendar and the action tools. But one other thing that we always encourage people to is Skype is something we use. I'm sure you guys all know there's different versions. But some of the things what we do is we schedule monthly conference calls and get everybody together online so they can see each other because we've been emailing back and forth or doing our to-do list. Doing that. And then we also actually Skype with our grandmother right now who's in a nursing home because we're always trying to do what we're supposed to do, trying to help. But one of the things that she was always lacking was that communication and kind of the sharing the love and things like that. So what we've done is her nursing home now, actually we asked them to, and they hooked up Skype, and now they do it for a number of folks. But my three-year-old Skypes his great-grandmother at least once a month and usually about every 2 weeks just to make sure that she feels that connection. And the best part is because of the calendars and the functions, you know, we schedule that. We know when it is, what to plan for. We make sure to bring special things in. And so not only does she feel great, after we hang up, my three-year-old's tickled pink, and I have to tell you, we feel great, too, because it was really an engagement that we thought, you know, I never would have thought of before until one day my sister said, wow, we should do Skype. And we did it.
I'm proud of your
That's a great idea.
Doing that. That's cool.
Yeah,
I'd have to have a lesson in Skype first for my parents and grandparents. But once we got past that hurdle, we'd be good to go.
I have to tell you, though, they'll do it. And that's why we worked with the caregivers to teach them how to do it. Because then all of a sudden it caught on like wildfire when they saw someone doing it. Because that kind of the checking in, the sending updates, and, you know, they're not always – they're tough conversations sometimes that you have to have with your other family members. But those pleasant moments are really the ones you have to strive for, right, when you get to do that connection with the person you're caring for and give them that 5 minutes of, you know, a great – making that – it'll make a great day for you and them. And so you really have to concentrate on how can you make those things happen too.
Well, and really, I mean, as military spouses, I would think that we should be really good at that. So because we do that when our spouses are deployed, you know, to keep our families intact with their mother or their father, whoever is the one that's downrange. So we put a lot of effort into that. I would think that we'd be able to take those same efforts, the care packages and the, you know, the Skype phone calls and things like that and apply them to this situation as well. And it should be something that comes naturally to us.
No, for you guys, and you know, and then also what we encourage people to do with our tools, you know, make sure your brothers and sisters might be getting that same push too. Like one of the things we encourage a lot of people to do is put up to-dos and track who's done things and who hasn't. And so one of the things we had, it was a fascinating conversation with this family that there were three girls and one boy, and the girls were always doing lots of things, doing updates, you know, doing everything they could to take care of their father. And the brother was like, oh, yeah, I do a lot too. And so one time they were all together and basically brought the list of everything that the son was supposed to have done and he didn't do. And they said, really? Do you want us to show Dad? Like, we've all done all this. Should we show Dad what you haven't done? And it was amazing, but all of a sudden they wrote to us this very funny story about how the brother now participates, and they check boxes for him, and they know what he's doing and when Dad calls in to check in on his father. So sometimes you got to kick a few in the seat of the pants. So.
Well, and, you know, he may have had a list of in his head where he thought he was doing things, but then maybe, you know.
Weren't what the sisters wanted?
Nope. Yeah.
That's a great point. No, it really
is. You know, and he thought he was, but then he was like, oh, the expectation wasn't, you know, I mean, like that he wasn't clear on the expectation maybe, but yeah, you're right. I mean, all of this is communication, which I just love. Is there a way, and I know Paula's like, Tara, be quiet, it's time to go to break, but can we go in and can we look at like what the app's free to download, right?
Yeah, yeah, free to download, so or you can just jump on the website too, makingcareeasier.com. Yep.
Okay, and so we can see what it offers and the different things and how the working parts and everything were if we wanted to before. Okay, so makingcareeasier.com.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that while we're at break.
Well, Renee and Robin, hang tight with us because we do have to take a quick break, okay? So, listeners, don't forget that the AWN Core team is having fun discussion taking place over there in our Twitter chat. Make sure that you use hashtag ArmyWife to participate. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about caregiving and the results of a major study that was done. So we'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Love where you live. When you move into a Corvius home, you'll find more than just convenient on-post housing at 7 Army installations across the country. You'll also find fun family events, upscale fitness centers, resort-style pools, and more. Our award-winning customer service, 24-hour maintenance, and smiling faces are just waiting to welcome you. Love your next home at CorviusMilitaryLiving.com. That's CorviusMilitaryLiving.com.
The Village Baby, from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Does it take a village to raise a baby? A study indicates infants pay a lot of attention to other people than parents and caregivers, such as folks in neighborhood shops and playgrounds. University of Chicago researcher Amanda Woodward tested this by watching 82 19-month-olds who had heard only English learn how to get a toy when someone speaking Spanish showed them. Kids from neighborhoods with more languages were more likely to take cues from Spanish speakers. Woodward says those babies seemed more comfortable with people not like those at home.
Babies are tuned into the broader social world to a really precise degree. They're paying attention to people in their broader environment.
The study in the journal Cognition was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
And welcome back to the show. We're talking with Renee Fry, who is the founder of Making Care Easier, which is a free online and mobile tool for caregivers, and Robin Santos from Clorox Care Concepts, a partner of Making Care Easier. And before we went to break, we're talking about how Making Care Easier helps families who are caring for their loved ones and the When Care Comes Home initiative from Clorox Care Concepts. So we're going to continue on with that. And Renee, we know that caring can be extremely expensive. So how can families help manage and share those costs?
Oh, you're so right. So the average family, there was a study done, spends about $25,000 a year out of pocket. And so it's incredible. And so what we tell people is, first, you really have to know what you're spending money on and you track expenses. You know, if you ask someone, typically, like we asked my aunt how much she spent on her grandmother, and she said $300. She tracked it for a month, and it was $1,000. Because you know, you're busy worrying about all the things you have going on in your life, your kids, baseball game, work. And so basically, you don't really get a good idea of where all this money is going until you sit down and track it. And so that's one of the things that makes a huge difference for the folks that we've known, especially for women who are taking care of their families and others. And so then the next thing after you know that is put together a list of all the things you're spending and know who should be responsible for things. And so, for instance, like if your grandmother needs 3 packs of adult diapers a month, who's going to sign up to do that? Or if your grandmother, you know, needs this or treatment or that, you know, write that down. Know who is going to handle the expenses, and maybe it comes out of her account, but who's the person in charge of that account? Like you said, you know, one of you is in charge of managing the finances. Split up the responsibilities, but make sure someone takes control of that. And then also, you know, especially for veterans, make sure that you're getting all the benefits that you can, and definitely talk with your VA rep or do a benefits checkup to find any benefit programs that are going to help you pay for medications, health care, food, utilities, and more. And there's a great website called benefitscheckup.org that can give you more details on that. But really being proactive and knowing what are your costs that you're facing, what benefits might be available to help you match those costs is really a huge step in being able to take control of the finances, which oftentimes really can tear families apart again. So be proactive.
Oof.
Well,
that's a lot
of
money.
Yeah, well, proactivity, that is a concept that many are still learning.
Yeah. But can you imagine $25,000 a year? These people, like when you say, they'll say, oh, I spend a few hundred dollars a month, and it ends up being three times what they thought they were spending just because they're not tracking, they're kind of swamped. And so you really, really have to, maybe for a month, do a trial. Try writing everything down. See what you have. See where the money's coming from and where it's going. And just do that trial and share it with your family so everybody knows.
Where it's added out to. You know, that can be true of almost anything. I mean, especially when it comes to budgeting and really seeing where you're putting your money. It can be, even if you're really good at that, an eye-open experience if you sit down and kind of just really give it a track and see.
Yep. No, it could help you also with benefits, too, because if you're able to say, hey, I didn't know I had all these costs, but maybe I could get some benefits for some of these costs. We've had a couple families be able to get up to about $500 a month from some of the benefits checkups that they were able to do because they didn't know they had that many costs before.
Didn't realize that they were. Yeah, oh, that makes
sense.
That's right. Especially like if you were doing like, oh, you know, I don't spend that much at the pharmacy, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, maybe I do spend that
right,
much
all those ancillary things, right, like the bandages, X, Y, and Z that, you know, maybe you didn't pay for with your health insurance card or maybe it wouldn't have covered, but, you know, once you pay attention, it's like, oh, okay, I can do that because that's extra money I could save or put toward the kids' college. So.
Right, or you know, if you needed it somewhere else, exactly. Well, hey, Robin, I'm going to turn to you, and kind of a positive note here, and I was really excited to hear this. When you did the major study on caregiving, you found that there were many caregivers that reported that while there were challenges, and I think that just about anybody can say that whether you're taking care of, you know, a wounded spouse or a parent or, you know, even a sick child, I mean, there are challenges to anything that comes with care for sure. But they had a lot of feedback that was very positive and said that there are many benefits along the journey. Can you share with us that study and a little bit more about the positives they shared?
I can. We did a study with the Caregiver Action Network, a nonprofit, and we looked at it and we said, we know there are challenges. We definitely know that that's an aspect of this. And I think so many of Renee's tips are here to kind of balance the challenges, which is fantastic. But we wanted to do a survey and sort of see where people felt emotionally on the scale of caregiving, which hadn't been done before, which really sort of surprised me. And 85% felt that caregiving gave more meaning to their lives. And 9 out of 10 caregivers really saw their relationships strengthen with the person that they were caring for. I think one of the things that we all know, and especially anyone out there taking care of a wounded vet or a parent, any of those things, like you sort of look at it like, wow, I'm in a blessed position to be able to do this for somebody. And that's really what came out of the study, was that people felt like, wow, I know this is costing me a lot emotionally and financially, and I'm overwhelmed, but at the end of the day, we had one caregiver say to us, her son is completely non-communicative, and she said, just as long as he smiles at the end of the day, I know I did a good job. And we were all really blown away by that, because ultimately that's why people are giving this gift to their loved ones.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so Robin,
it was very cool.
I mean, when you stop and you think about it, you're like, wow, okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's really cool.
It definitely knocks you down. You're sort of like, wow. Like,
yeah, you
kind of
like, I mean, yeah,
I think
it's really neat. Well, Renee,
it really
one
is.
Thing
selflessness to do it is definitely a big part of whoever that person is. And I think, as Renee has been saying, like, I think the way that you combat the frustration and the overwhelmedness is by doing so many of the things that's available on the Making Care Easier app. I think the more that you can sort of be ready to spread help around, in essence, so you're
mm-hmm.
not shouldering it all yourself.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
the way to kind of balance it. It's key
right.
in being able to move forward and get through every day.
Well, and that is something that can be hard to ask for is help, you know. So, Renee, do you have any suggestions on what's the best way to do that, asking for help? And not only asking it, but being willing to receive the help. Because sometimes that's even an issue.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Especially because some of the folks that we work with or caregivers say, oh, you know, I don't want to share all the medication lists with you. I don't want to share, like, that at 9:30, you know, Dad does this. At 10:30, he does this. It's going to cause a huge burden for me. And so what we help a lot of people do is, you know, make sure that you make your list, put your things into the tools that you can use, and then basically be open to telling people what you need. And that sometimes is surprisingly a huge challenge. And what we encourage people to do is, you know, if you can't call someone and ask, write it down. Put it in an app like Making Care Easier. But make sure that you really let people know everything you do. And when they do help, one of the things that we really encourage people to is thank people. It seems like, you know, we're talking about how the caregivers, you know, they do need tons of help. But as a caregiver, you really also need to thank people and reinforce with them that you really appreciated what they did for you and encourage that repeat behavior. But this way, you know, or make sure they know how much mom or dad really enjoyed seeing them or enjoyed, you know, the package they sent. And so if you can really get a process going, and the idea is that, you know, you as a caregiver know what's going, but you can hand over, you know, so you can take a vacation, you can hand over the important information, you can hand over the tasks that need to be get done, and you really become, I think, a stronger family. And this goes back to what Robin and the Clark Care Concepts folks have really done, is shown, you know, how do you really get that positive effect from caregiving and that emotional side and make it a really good thing that makes you feel great as a family instead of something that, you know, really could tear you apart if it's not handled well.
Mm-hmm. I'm going back to, again, saying this is just such a wonderful communication tool. I'm all about people communicating and thanking somebody or, you know, just taking the time to say, hey, you know, that was great that you did this, or it's all back to communication. I love this. I'm so excited about it for many different things. Well, guys, we are flat out of time. As a matter of fact, I think we're over time, which, you know, kind of comes to my territory. But I want to make sure that everybody knows where to go to. So, Robin, what is the website for When Care Comes Home?
WhenCareComesHome.com. So
okay,
it's
easy.
Simple, and you can go there and you'll find a bunch of tips and resources and different connection points that you can hopefully make your life a lot easier.
Okay, good stuff. And Renee, to find out more about the app and Clorox's involvement.
Yep, so makingcareeasier.com. And then the mobile app is available for Android and iPhones. And they tie together really well so that no matter where you go, you have all the information and you can ask people for help anytime you need to.
Perfect. Well, Renee and Robin, thank you so very much for being with us tonight. We really enjoyed all the great information, and it sounds like you guys have really provided some great tools for not only military families, but the other families out there, you know, that are dealing with taking care of parents and elderly. So we really appreciate you being with us tonight.
Well, thank you both. It was a fantastic conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. Next week, November 3rd, 2014, on the show, we're featuring Regina Novickis with, and actually, you know what, I need to make an adjustment because that changed. We're having Shannon Hanrahan, and she's going to talk to us about expert holiday savings tips. So you are not going to want to miss that.
Absolutely, you're not, Renee,
holidays.
Robin. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I can't believe the holidays are right around the corner.
Yeah, you and me both, but Hobby Lobby reminded us in July that Christmas is coming soon. Robin and Renee, I wanted to say thank you myself. Great conversation. Can't wait to learn more. So I'm going to go check that out. Guys, in the meantime, join us on armywifenetwork.com. We've got all of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, you name it, we're on it. Resource of the Week over at YouTube. We've got lots of our bloggers over at lovingasoldier.com, but if you happen to come across lovingasoldier.com in the next, I don't know, say 10 to 14 days, and it's not there, don't stress. It's all over at armywifenetwork.com. Site redesign should be coming to you guys very shortly. And that's what I have for you tonight.
That's it. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. And this is Army Wife Network's core team signing out. Good night.
Night, guys.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.